The American government is shut down right now. I know many of you watching are some of our international guests, and you may be scratching your head wondering what in the world is going on with the United States government. They're supposed to be the most powerful nation on the planet. They're supposed to be the leaders showing the way forward, the shining light on a hill. They're supposed to be the one who set the standard for what democracy is all about. They're the ones who are supposed to be the indispensable nation. And so what, you may wonder, is going on with the government that it can't even be open? Well, that is a really good question. And it's a question we here in the United States ask a lot. And this particular one here is very, very concerning and troubling, because I think what you're seeing on display here is that the two-party system that has governed our country for more than a century, for a long, long time, back into the 1800s, is now at risk and may finally have actually got to the point to where it can no longer function. Entropy has set in. And now then we see on graphic display here that the two-party system is no longer able to solve the nation's problems. Because what you have unfolding before you right now is you have the Republican Party that has one set of views and one set of priorities, and you have a Democratic Party that has another set of views and another set of priorities. Obviously, there's been the Republican Democrats for centuries, for a long, long time, and they have always had different views and always have different priorities. But heretofore, they've always been able to work around them because the country was more important than the party. Or at least in some ways, you still had to give in to that reality, even if you didn't really believe that. But still, just the realities of how things function, you have to still get along with that. You have to understand that you're not always going to get what you want. And if you don't get you what you want this time, you'll get it in the next election here. If you lose an election and the other party gains ascendancy over you, then grit your teeth. You don't like it. But, you know, what did you do wrong? What message did you fail to send to the voting population that they didn't like? Well, let's fix it this next time. In the next election, let's make up for those errors and let's go back again. That used to be the way it was done. And in the meantime, in between the elections, then you work together in the best ways that you could to find common ground to get things done. Because ultimately, political parties are only there to assemble different leaders and different organizations and different aspects of government so that the government functions to take care of the needs of the people. That's supposed to be the overriding thing. The parties are only supposed to be a gathering of like-minded people for the purpose of saying, well, I want people to solve government problems primarily like this, but always with the understanding that there are other parties and that there are other constituents and you have to work together. That used to be the way things were done. I'm old enough to have lived through, even in my early adulthood, that's just how things were done. And anytime somebody had a certain issue that they wanted to get a bill passed or they wanted something to happen and that for the president to sign into law, et cetera, then you had to make compromises. This is something I really want here. These other things are kind of important, but not that important. The other side was, this one here is really important to me. These other ones are okay, but I can live without them. Okay, well, let's find out where those ones are that are important, but not that important that we can live without the must-haves. And let's see, can we make those things come together so we can get it passed? We can get a budget passed. We can get the laws passed. We can address any urgent needs that may be coming. We can get all those things done. You have different views, but you can still manage to get them done. That's how it used to be. That's how it's supposed to be. That's not how it is now. What we have a situation now on graphic, horrific display with this government shutdown is that you now have two parties that are primarily interested in their own needs, in their own desires, at the expense of the other party, at the expense of the nation. Getting things done is no longer the coin of the realm. Making the government do the basic fundamentals, like passing a damn budget, is now seemingly out of reach. And what is troubling to me, and even more so, and you can kind of tell I'm a bit agitated here today, is because now then we're just using spin all over the place. I talk about this a lot during our foreign policy shows and during our military shows and how people just make stuff up out of thin air and then they just claim that it's a fact even though it's in contradiction to the observed realities on the ground. That's what we always talk about here. Well, that unfortunately plays together in the political realm here. and that nobody wants to deal with what's true. And they will just make stuff up left and right and try to characterize the other side in ways that are self-evidently untrue. Exaggeration is one thing. You can kind of roll your eyes somewhere and say, well, you're over-exaggerating that. That's not actually true, or it's only true to some extent. It's a separate thing when you're making out of whole cloth something and accusing the other side of something that is flat out untrue. And that characterization is preventing the Congress from passing a budget to even allow the country to go on. That's what we have before us right now. So let me tell you, from somebody who doesn't really give a damn about the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, and I care a great deal about the American people, and I want to see the government function for the people, whichever party that they're a part of. So there's blame to go around on both sides. Right now, there's a little bit more blame to go around on the Republican side. Let me show you why. So first of all, we're going to go, this is what earlier today, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said, given his examples, explanation for why we're shut down.
Segment regarding Homeland Security and what that's doing for the security of our country. If you're keeping count, nine times the Senate Democrats have voted to keep the government closed. All the House Democrats except one voted September 19th to shut it down. So this is 10 total times now that Democrats in Congress have voted to close the government. And we know what that means for real people. We know what it means for our troops and our Border Patrol agents and TSA agents and air traffic controllers and everybody who relies upon services around the country. It's very real. And so today marks yet another day of American families feeling the very real personal and economic strain of this reckless decision that our Democrat colleagues keep making. They want the United States government to remain closed, and they seem not to care about the pain that it's causing. They have offered no plan. They have offered no strategy. They have offered no common sense path forward for ending this situation. And so many of you have asked all of us, how will it end? We have no idea. It's up to the Democrats, and they have to decide it. And
okay, that is just flat out untrue. Number one, his characterization. The Democrats have voted to shut down the government. 10 times they voted to shut down the government. They did not vote to shut down the government. What they voted for was that they didn't like what you're trying to jam down their throats. And this ultimately comes down to an issue right now. Really, the primary issue is the Republicans want to pass a stopgap measure. It's called a continuing resolution, a CR, from the time it was supposed to have been done on October 1st up until, I think, mid-November, but 6 weeks or so. They said, let's get a stopgap measure, and then we'll figure out how to get the rest of the budget done. This is, unfortunately, what we've been doing for years now. We just had these CRs. Even when the government's not shut down, it's never a full budget. They always just do it in fits and starts because they can't do their job. That's the bottom line, you understand, up front. But in this particular case here, when they say that they want this stopgap measure, the Democrats have said, no, we don't want a stopgap measure because there's an issue with the Affordable Care Act, the ACA. There's a lot of these, it's called subsidies, that are going to expire at the end of the year. And there are some elements of it that will expire and cause some problems beginning on November 1st. So from their perspective, they're saying, we want to have this negotiated first. And the Republicans are saying, yeah, let's just have a clean bill. You may hear that term periodically. Let's just have a clean CR to keep the government open right now, and then we'll negotiate it. Well, okay, just look at that at the surface level. First of all, let's look at from the Republican side. If you actually want to negotiate the ACA subsidies so that people don't lose their health care, and by the way, let's look at that. He accused that the Democrats, they don't even know. They don't have any reason. They just want the government shut down. That's a lie. That's not an exaggeration, friends. That is a lie. It is for sure a lie. It's straight up. The Democrats tell you all the time what they're looking for, and we're going to show you right here, right now. So here's what the Democrats want to know. This is what they're fighting for. This is 5 things you need to know about the healthcare. That's the title of it here. But the one thing I want to focus on is this ACA. The tax credits that make the ACA healthcare premiums affordable for many Americans don't expire until December. But as Republican lawmakers note, but the Democratic lawmakers want to see them extended before the enrollment begins on November 1st. And they have made that a condition for vote to open the government. It's not just a battle over political messaging. These are real health insurance marketplaces where real people, 24 million of them, buy coverage. The amount of the federal government picks up for their monthly premiums makes a big difference. And it, to the tune of, it could literally double a lot of their health cares. So when you hear Johnson saying, the Democrats just want to shut the government down and they have no plan. We don't even know, he said. He lied to you. He lied to you. If you're a Republican, deep, born and bred, and all the way through, don't be satisfied with being lied to. If at least if he can say that the Republicans have this view, we think we should have a clean CR and we'll debate the ACA issues. And then once we get to the next deadline, then we'll pass the budget. Then say that. But don't say, we don't know, and they're doing this, when you know for 100% certainty, because you've been talking to them for months, that this has been going on. They have told you, we want these ACA things here. 75% of the American people want the ACA issue fixed because they don't want to have their insurance premiums doubled. Nobody wants it. Healthcare is really expensive already. So when you hear Mike Johnson sitting there talking about all these poor people and those bad Democrats, they just want the government shut down. They don't care about these poor people. Understand, interpret correctly what he's saying is that we don't give a damn about any people. We're using them as pawns to make you feel sorry for it, especially for the supporters to say, yeah, those Democrats don't care about the people. The Democrats are primarily motivated on the people. All of them, red, blue, independents, it don't matter. Everybody who's in this, 24 million Americans are in this marketplace, and their premiums could be affected by this. Some of them a lot. And if you cared about them, you'd say, okay, fine, we'll negotiate. If you were concerned, if the Republicans were actually concerned about negotiating for the ACA for the benefit of the people that Mike Johnson was talking about, they'd be doing it right now. You don't have to have the government open to be negotiating. The members of Congress are still getting paid. And by the way, let's just add to this. Mike Johnson is not even working. He has the Congress on furlough or on paid leave. They haven't been in session for 3 weeks, I think, now. Maybe more than that. And he won't even bring them back in. So they're not doing any work. So while you have the government shut down and you have hundreds of thousands of government workers, people who are our brothers and sisters in this country, fellow Americans who are serving their country by working in the government, you don't give a damn about any of them. Neither one of you do, because you're both willing to let them well. But especially the Speaker of the House is allowing all these people to be furloughed. And now that we don't even know if they're going to get back paid later, but they're certainly not going to get their primary pay. They've already missed a payment, and another one's coming up soon. You're okay with that. But then you're not even willing to negotiate. So, and meanwhile, you don't even work, but you get full pay. That's one of the things that just irks me more than I can tell you. While you are sitting there satisfied to point a finger, a bony finger over at the Democrats for not opening the government, you are doing the same thing. That's another thing you need to understand. Don't listen to all of this moralizing and pointing to them, because it works both ways. See, you could, Republicans, you could vote to say, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll have a negotiation right now. We'll do it today. We'll figure this out. And then as soon as we can, we'll do a CR or whatever. That's our condition. If you'll agree to this, then we'll do the CR, and then we'll make another one later on. However you want to do that, you could vote for it too. You could do the, you could have a negotiation that would concede to the Democrats what it needs for them to get the thing open, which they have said is having a negotiation on the ACA subsidies. That's where it is. So you could do that. And then that would allow the Democrats to have this open. Then you'd get your CR, but you don't want to do that. So instead of even acknowledging your role in this, you only want the bony finger pointed over here. Now, it's not just the Republicans. The Democrats also have an issue. They could say, okay, we don't agree with this. We don't want it. But if that's what it takes to keep the government going on, we'll do it. You could absolutely put this out there and say, okay, we're going to trust the Republicans. So what the Democrats are saying is we don't trust the Republicans. There's no trust at all between the parties for things that have happened, you know, that have been building up, which is why I say we've reached entropy. So a lot of this stuff is just mudslinging back and forth, and we keep paying the price, regular American people. We keep paying the price. And so the Democrats could have said, okay, I'm just going to hold my nose here. I don't want to be compelled and forced into it, but at least it will keep the government open. So we'll agree to do that, and we will publicly say, now you have to make good on your word. So before the next 6 weeks of it would have expired into November, then you would have had to have that negotiation. And if the Republicans wouldn't negotiate, if they wouldn't get anything done, and then the next time it expired, now then the Democrats can say, see, we tried, and they wouldn't do it. We're just trying to get these subsidies extended so Americans don't have to pay more money. And then you would have had the high ground. But instead, the Democrats said, no, we want it our way or no way. So in this regard, they also share some of the blame. But hear me carefully. Both parties are equally at fault. And it is the parties that are the problem. So don't think that one party has your back and one party is the evil one, and then or vice versa, because it's not. Neither one of them have your back. Neither one of them are fighting for you. They are each fighting for themselves. You have the Republicans over here talking about what they can do to maximize their political advantage and maximize the pain for the Democrats, and especially heading into the 2026 midterms. I've already hearing stuff of this. I've heard it in context with this here. Ted Cruz was talking about it just last night. So they're already trying to calculate this to damage the other side's views and the view of them heading into the 26. So that's why it's going to be a problem. So you're trying to exploit it in every way. Democrats are certainly doing the same thing. They're going on all their normal outlets and their podcasts and everything else, and they're talking about how bad the Republicans are, et cetera, not realizing that both sides could easily give small gives and have kept the government open, and we wouldn't even have to shut down. And they could each of them give small gives now so that we can get this the government back on and get the negotiations done. But neither side is willing to give anything. Both sides keep talking about, I'm just trying to do it for the people. You heard Mike Johnson there. I'm just trying to help out the little people and the people who matter. And the Democrats are doing the exact same thing. They're just we're just trying to fight for you. We want these ACA things. Great. Great Johnson wants to care about the little families. Great that the Democrats want to care about people with the ACA stuff. It's not a one or the other. You're all supposed to be doing it for us. It's not supposed to be party above country, party above the actual people, because that's what it is. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the parties holding the rest of us hostage and then using us like pawns to try and throw rocks at the other side with our help, with our health care, with our benefits. And what's been the result of this? So you've got, right now there's, I think, somewhere around 700,000 government workers out of power. Now, I've heard some on the Republican side demean those people and say, well, good, the government should be shut down. It's what I voted for. Is that what we voted for? That the entire federal government just be shut down, not doing any work? Maybe they'll get back pay. Maybe they won't. Hey, is there any sense, Republican, Democrat, of what the lives are of these 700,000 people that are directly affected? They got, you talk about ACA stuff that could happen later on. You talk about the other things that other people are worried about that could happen because government services aren't running. I'm talking about people who are worried about how are they going to make their next meal? How are they going to pay their rent this month? How are they going to make their car payment or anything else they have requirements for? Johnson's already seeming to brag about how this could be the longest shutdown in history, oblivious, unconcerned about the Americans who are serving us all by serving in the government. You know, I was used to be in the military, and very oftentimes, you know, people say, oh, thank you for your service and all that. I served in the military, America. But folks, people who serve in our government are also serving our country. They are doing things for the benefit of all of the country, whatever the departments are. all across our federal government. Don't look at them as the enemy. Don't look at them as pawns or just like, good on, I'm glad they're suffering. Why? Why would anyone be glad that one American is suffering here? That one American is not going to get, they're not going to be able to pay their salaries, is not going to be able to put food on their table, is going to wonder, are they even going to lose their house? Are they going to lose their apartment? Are they going to lose their vehicle, et cetera? Why should we put anybody in that position? It should be unconscionable. And I'm tired of it. And I bet I'm not the only one here. And I mean, look at some of the other things, the military. So just so you're aware, when Congress allocates money, especially to the military, they allocate it for very specific things. It goes into this bucket, it goes into that bucket, it's for this purpose, it's for that purpose. You cannot just say, okay, Congress gave whatever, I think $900 billion for the last defense budget. Well, all right, well, there was $40 billion in this bucket over here, but I'd really like to use it over here. You can't just move it over here. There's a reason why. That's a good reason, because if you just allocate money and then the Pentagon is free to move it around, when the Congress allocates money, it's for a specific reason. And if you say we want this, but then you actually use it for that, then you're bypassing Congress and you're misusing the money. So there's a law that says you can't do that. Well, because the White House didn't want the military, the active duty military, not to get paid. They didn't want them to miss their payment on the 15th of October. They said, we'll just take some money from this bucket, move it to that. That's illegal. You can't do it. So that's a congressional issue. So the Speaker of the House, when asked about it, he just rolled his eyes and he said, it's not going to matter. The president wants the military to get paid. Do you think the Democrats are actually going to raise an issue about that? He literally said the rule of law doesn't exist. And I'm saying, hell yeah, I'm going to raise that issue. I am going to raise that issue. The Democrats should too. Bad on them for not doing it. There's a reason why we have laws. And every single time you whittle away at the rule of law, whether that's launching a military strike into Iran, into another country in direct and gross violation of the 1973 War Powers Act or the Article 1 of the United States Constitution, or you blow up boats in the Caribbean Sea with no authorization at all in direct violation of the law, or when you say, I'm going to move something from one bucket here to another one there, and I don't care about the law. You move further and further down the path and you set more and more precedents. So the next time there's even a lower threshold to violating the law. Now it's down to, it's just a rule of the jungle. Whoever's got the political power today gets to decide what the laws are. You have nothing but chaos, and that leads to even more dangerous possible outcomes as more and more people start looking around and thinking, I know there's been laws against this or that, but it's something I want. And if my side likes it, then I think we'll go ahead and do it. That's where we're heading. That's where we're on the way to. So not only is our government not functioning right now, we're continuing to get rid of the guardrails that have stood the top. There's supposed to be separation of the powers in the government itself between the Congress and against the White House. But now then you see if the White House said something, the Congress lays down and says, sure, take it. Do whatever you want to do. My own powers, I'm subordinating them to the party, and maybe not even the party, maybe to an individual. If that's what somebody wants, that's what they get no matter what the law is. That is a problem. That is yet another problem in all this. And then what are you going to do now? If Mike Johnson is right, and this turns out to be the longest shutdown in history, you've made a short-term fix to get the October 15th. What are you going to do on the 31st of October? Then what are you going to do? Where are you going to raid that money? You've already raided it from one. Are you just going to say, literally, none of the laws matter? We'll just grab money from wherever the hell we feel like it so that we keep the military paid. Or are you going to not pay the military? And even right now, you have the active portion of the National Guard did not get paid on the 15th. There wasn't enough money for them, so they didn't get paid. But some of them still have to work. Some of them are furloughed as well. So now then they're not doing their job or getting paid. Why do they not count? Why are we telling the National Guard, you know, count when we're trying to send them all over the place, even in America? More on that on a different show. But I mean, you're asking them to do stuff and you're not paying them. And of course, all these people like the air traffic controllers and the TSA and a lot of other people who are required to work with no pay, that's not going to fly much longer, folks. You can't force somebody to keep showing up to work every day and not paying them because you don't have the freaking balls to do the right thing by the American people. And you want to stick it to your political opponent, but you require them to keep coming to work every day for no money, while you don't even show up for work and get full pay. I mean, you should be humiliated. You should be shamed for what you're doing. And instead you're bragging, getting in front of those cameras. And it just makes me sick. I'm so tired of it. And the American people are just pawns in your games. And so I'm tired of the Democratic Party not willing to make any kind of compromises that are necessary to get the government done here. Not even attempting to find out if the Republicans will make good on it. Not even trying to use the leverage you could have if they fail, because all you want to do is stick it to the Republicans. And of course, for this one, I've got more problems with the Republicans, and they have the bigger blame because they're the ones that are in power right now. They're the ones that are in the majority in the House and in the Senate and in the White House. So bottom line is, you need to understand, we don't seem to matter anymore. Not even nominally, unless they're using us as a prop and a pawn to throw at the other side there. Because nobody's caring about what we are suffering. Nobody cares about these 700 and something thousand people that either are having to work with no pay or not even allowed to work and not have any pay, or about the potential ACA problems and the millions of Americans that could have their premiums go up at the first of the next year. Nobody seems to care about that. Not really. They seem to care about sticking it to the other side. I'm tired of it, folks. I'm tired of it. And if you are too, let me hear from you in the comments here. Send back on there. I'd like to know what other people think. I didn't give a whole lot of thought to this one. You see, I didn't even have time to get Gary involved here. I just had to launch into this. I just felt something really strong in the heart there, and I felt like it's something that needed to be said. And I hope that we get some shame on both the Republican and Democratic parties as a result of this. Send this to somebody. Send this to on your social media or whatever and say, you're sick of both these parties. It's time for y'all to do your damn job that you're getting paid for and to make sure our needs are met, which is why you're supposed to be in office in the first place. Appreciate you guys today coming on. And if I can pull up one more thing real quick before I forgot. This has been Daniel Davis on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. We'll look forward to seeing you on the very next episode.